As the emergence of the powerhouse nations of the Western Hemisphere unfolded since the year 1492, the island where Columbus landed has always blazed the historical trail in commerce and politics. Hispaniola, which became Haiti and the Dominican Republic, is an economic backwater of the hemisphere today. Haiti, in particular, has not shared in the prosperity of the so-called American century. Yet it has been a cultural and political force in ways that perhaps don't always make it into the history books.
The mountain home of Jean-Claude Duvalier and his wife has been ransacked. Haitians wander through the stripped retreat as though it were a tourist attraction.
Journalist Amy Willens first arrived in Haiti when the brutal colonial history of the region was reaching a turning point with the overthrow of dictator Baby Dacu Duvalier in 1986. Haiti's cultural treasures and hidden narratives have taught Willens much about the real history of the Americas since Columbus. In her new book, Farewell Fred Voodoo, Willens tries to capture the essential wisdom of a place that has captivated and horrified her for her entire career as a writer. And like so many things about Haiti, one can never really be sure you get it right.
One of the things I like to think about when I write about Haiti is how actually Haiti is the newest of the new and was the newest of the new. You know, they had this revolution in 1804 that freed them from French rule. Jamaica didn't separate from Britain until the 1960s. So it had it was modern before anyone was modern. And that's one of the reasons, I think, that it now has suffered for so long. It was too much before its time, and nobody knew how to deal with it. Who knew how to deal with freedom fighters and a black republic in 1804? No one. The Western world wasn't ready for the Haitian Revolution. So what happened was they got knocked back into their place by the rest of the world and still haven't come out of that. But I would say, I'd argue that Haiti is a really modern place. It's one of the first globalized economies in the world. In other words, when we had slavery in the U.S., we actually consumed what our slave plantations produced. But in Haiti, everything was for export. So it was really incredibly modern. But we look at it now and say it's backward.
What is the capacity to throw off slavery in the early part of the 1800s? What is the capacity of the Haitian to accomplish that, but yet not to be able to embrace modernity, particularly political modernism, in the rest of that century and in what we see today in Haiti?
Well, of course, there are different kinds of oppression, and you could argue that imperialism and globalization are very difficult shackles to throw off for a country like Haiti. But I don't like to only look at the victim. You know, I want to see Haitians as fully capable, and I think they are. And, yeah, it was incredible. Their revolution was an astonishing thing. But now today, of course, you see still a country with gigantic economic problems. I think one reason is once they threw off the shackles of slavery, they didn't know what to do. You know, a lot of them were illiterate. They didn't know how to run a government. They weren't. What they knew was they wanted freedom. But freedom can be defined in a lot of ways, and one way to define freedom is the absence of slavery. And that's not a system. The absence of slavery is not a system. So it's taken them a long time to grow into some kind of system, and they've been both hampered and helped by the outside community in that. And that's what my book is mostly about, is how outsiders and Haitians have dysfunctioned together over the centuries.
This book is also about your connection to this place, a place where even though freedom is difficult for Haitians to find, you personally seem to find such a sense of freedom in this place, either realized or potential. You see something that a lot of us don't, maybe, in Haiti. When did you first find this attraction?
Well, I first arrived in Haiti in, I think it was 1986, the very beginning of 1986, and the Duvalier dynasty under Baby Doc was coming to an end. And in fact, while I was there, I was lucky enough, I was a freelancer and very new to this, so I hadn't been sent by a giant media entity that understood it was coming to an end. I just got lucky, and I saw the end of dictatorship. And really, you felt that it was liberation, and it was like the French Revolution, and it was terribly exciting, and I was hooked. But then, yeah, you talk about the freedom I feel there. And one of the things I try to examine in the book is why I and others like me, whatever that means, are so attracted to Haiti and keep going down and down and down. And I've come to understand myself pretty well down there. But there is a type of person who, quote, loves, unquote, Haiti, who loves it because they have untold freedom there. They can. There's an anthropologist, and her name is Erica Capel James, and she calls them mobile sovereigns. They have wheels, they have gas, they have beautiful apartments, they run around, they make decisions about how aid should be distributed, and then they can go to nightclubs and nice restaurants in the wealthier parts of the capital. So it's not a punitive life, and in fact, it makes you feel as though you're doing good and exercising power in all these very seductive ways. I don't really get that because I'm just a writer.
But you are entranced, if not really moved, by the sense of magic that can come out of Haiti. And while you spend great pains in the book describing how zombieism and voodoo and all of these sort of mythological products of the way we understand Haiti are demeaning to the real Haitian experience, there is a kind of magic there that you find palpable.
There is a kind of magic. I often worry that the magic is the magic of them being so poor and me having money. And I think what one of the things that's really seductive is what people call Haitian resilience, which is the way Haitians seem to manage to function in these really dire conditions. But for me, what I've learned is it's not Haitian resilience. It's human resilience. And one shouldn't see it as Haitian resilience because that makes them seem like sort of, you know, a proud slaves. There's some racial tinge to that resilience quote. But when you see it as human resilience, as if, say, they were on a long forced march with Nazis pushing them on, then you begin to see that it's a universal story.
The title of your book, Farewell, Fred Voodoo, I mean, the key word there seems farewell.
I'm not sure who's saying farewell.
Yeah, me either. And can you ever say farewell to this place that is so much a part of your life?
Well, you want to. You really do. Sometimes I feel that my perfect stay in Haiti is 4 days because then I get there and I can think, okay, now you're leaving. It's very harsh sometimes to be there and see so much pain. And for me, to have been going for so long and see so little changed and so much for the worse, that's hard. So I want to see things get better. And when I was young, I believed that things would get better. But now that I'm older, I see in this story and when I covered the Middle East, I believed in peace and then we didn't get peace. And here in Haiti, I believed in democracy. And now we have a certain more measure of democracy in Haiti, sort of. But living conditions are not better for the people. So I wonder where all the money has gone that Americans and others have been spending in Haiti, why development projects are so poorly constructed and usually have negative rather than positive results. I'm just waiting, you know, I'm just a writer, but I'm waiting for out-of-the-box thinking.
Well, the wisdom from Amy Willens and from Haiti in this book, Farewell, Fred Voodoo. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.